Welcome to C3 Stand. We have some visitors here this morning. Welcome. Drop it. Let's drop it. Good morning. I'm excited about the chairs. I wasn't going to recap, guys. For people who are visiting, I'm so known to coming up here and recapping announcements, but I'm not going to do that because Sky did such a wonderful job of recapping announcements. But we are so excited for the chairs. No. We are so excited for the chairs. The whole thing of today, I think we've got squeeze in. Squeeze in is the title of the message this morning, and it sort of has a little bit to do with the chairs. So we're sort of going to come around the chairs and this morning. But before I do that, we're going to talk a little bit about conference. And I'm just going to get Taylor to come up just for a minute because we're going to talk about the branding of conference. So we see the dates up there. The dates are actually the 23rd. Have that. So voice of heaven here and now. Anyway, so the renovations that you're seeing happening, everything that you're seeing happening, this all came from, I think, a while ago. I don't even know how long ago. We all sat in a meeting after church and talked about pledges and just going into renovations of the church and just doing a whole bunch of stuff in this church. I don't even know how to say that. But we were sort of collecting everything together and going, yep, let's do this. And so this is where the renovations are coming from for the people who did come to that meeting, these renovations happening. There's so much more that's going to happen to make room for where we're going. So this is why you're seeing these renovations happen. So those of you who weren't at that meeting, this is what you're seeing happen. It's a result of that. So I encourage you, when we do have meetings, to be a part of that, so you're not feeling then like, I don't know what's going on, or I'm in the outer. So when you do hear that there are meetings and you want to be involved, if you don't want to, that's fine. But if you want to be involved, come to those meetings because you get to hear some things that are going on. But anyway, transformation beyond self. That's what we've been talking about. So the first half of the year was transformation. Second half of the year, transformation beyond self. Sky is going to be bringing that next week. And it is a little bit this week. I sort of went a little bit rogue because I had a message prepared and then I really felt that God just said, I really want you to speak this. And it is because there's a lot of things going on in this church. And this is the reason why I'm bringing up the renovations and I'm bringing up the conference and I'm bringing up the chairs. Because we can get really involved and miss things that can actually happen around us in the times when momentum is happening and things are happening around us and it can look really exciting, but then you're sort of sitting here on your own where you feel that you can sometimes be on your own and go, but I'm going through this or I'm going through this, and nobody actually sees it. Everybody around me seems really excited, or everybody around me looks like they're actually, you know, excelling in life or winning in life or going through this, or you know, they're looking like they're going really well, but I'm going through this. And I want to encourage you this morning that you're not alone. We're all going through it together, and this is where the squeeze in sort of comes into it, because we're going to squeeze in a little bit this morning. So I just want to pray about this message. So thank you, Father. Thank you, God, that this is your word, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you will penetrate every heart. You will encounter every heart, Father. And this word will not return void, Father, because it's yours, God. So I just thank you, Jesus, for every single person that is here, every person that hears this word, that it lands the way you want it to land, Father, because it's yours, Father. In your name, amen. Long, 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 long time ago, one of my jobs was a merchandiser. And I used to go around to different stores all around WA and do jewelry stores. And one thing I noticed that was, because I used to open stores, close stores, do catalogs, do all sorts of different things in the windows. And one thing I noticed was you could have the same jewelry in the window, but you could put a ticket on it and move it around. And then all of a sudden, it draws attention. And everybody wants to come in. It's the same jewelry that was sitting there for months on end. Or you can close a door, You can walk past Carousel, for example, and you'll see it. I don't know if it happens anymore, but you used to see Zammels used to close every now and then when they had a sale, and they used to close the door and go, it's very special of the people who would walk in, and they would line you up, and then you'd think, oh, you're going to miss out if you don't go in. So you'd line up. Whether you want a jewelry or not, need a jewelry or not, you would line up because it looked exciting, right? And sometimes you would get something you didn't even need and push somebody out the way, whether you needed it or not, just so you could get what you wanted, but you didn't need it, or you probably didn't even want it in the end, right? But it created this excitement around it. That is something that I noticed. And we didn't people didn't really see people outside of that. That's also what I noticed. So you would come to the window and people would be around each other, and people wouldn't notice the next person that was around them sometimes, right? So this is, and it's similar at church. When you see things moving, you see things going on, you can have the same people, you can have the same church, you can have the same things going on. But as soon as you move something, it's like, oh, let me be involved. I want to be involved. There's momentum. And then sometimes we actually don't see each other. Sometimes we don't actually see what's going on around the outskirts. Sometimes we don't see what's actually happening, but we see movement in the same church with the same people, the same God. Now we want to be involved. Now we want to come in. Now we want to. Now there's momentum. So I want to speak a little bit on distractions this morning. I want to speak a little bit about what happens when we're on the outskirts, what happens when we're in the back, what happens when we're feeling like we're on the outside, when we're a little bit vulnerable. So in Deuteronomy 25, 17 to 18, it says, "Never forget what the Amalekites did to you as you came from Egypt. They attacked you when you were exhausted and weary, and they struck down those who were straggling behind. They had no fear of God. The Amalekites were some of the most ruthless and vicious of Israel's enemies." When Israel left Egypt, the Amalekites cruelly attacked the rear ranks. So I'm going to try and, because I'm not like a real war buff, right? I don't mind action movies, wasn't really into war movies. I didn't mind the gladiators, but I didn't go to Saving Private Ryan. I wasn't really a war type of girl, right? But I'm going to try and put it into some sort of perspective of what can happen to us in this sort of battle way, right? So the Amalekites were the type of people that hit from the rear, that hit from the outskirts, that hit the people who were vulnerable, that hit the people who were weak or who had weaknesses, who were tired, who were weary. When the leaders were out, when the vulnerable were left, whether it was the women, whether it was the children, whether it was the people who, whether it was in the dark, they came and they did like ambushes, and they came and they stole everything, and then they'd retreat, and then they'd go, right? That was the type of battle. It was, They'd come in, they'd take all, then they'd go. They'd retreat, right? They'd steal. And it was when they were unprepared, when the Israelites were unprepared, that's how they would come in and fight. Then you would get the Philistines that were very different. They were prepared fighters. They came in with weapons. They were very military type. They were hierarchy type. They came in and they wanted to control. They came in and they wanted dominance. Whether it was the roads, the hills, the whatever it was, they wanted dominance, right? And we can see this in our lives. If we put it in perspective, we can see when we get attacked in our lives with big dominant things. We can see when we get attacked with an illness, say cancer, when we lose a loved one, when we've got a massive debt we actually don't know how to get rid of, when we lose our job, or when we lose our marriage, or when relationships break down, or something like that, when it's really in our face, right? It's trying to take over, it's trying to take control, and it's trying to dominate, and we can see it, right? And it's either going to grow us or it's going to take us out. They're the two things that it's going to do, right? Then we've got to learn how to fight or we drown, because we know this is in our face. When we get ambushed from an Amalekite type of war, we don't know. We're tired. We're exhausted. We're on the outskirts. This is why we've got to squeeze in, right? We're on the outskirts. We're at the rear. We're feeling a little bit left out. We're feeling a little bit on the outer. We're feeling a little bit burnt out. We're feeling a little bit tired. We're feeling a little bit, I don't really know what's going on. We're feeling a little bit all of this, right? And then we start to get these little niggles. And you start to get a little niggle in a relationship. You start to get a little niggle in work. You start to get a little niggle in, oh, did they really say that to you? You start to get a little niggle in, oh, I don't know. I might take that a little bit offensively and I'm just going to hold on to that offense. Oh, I don't know, you know, God, did you really say that? That didn't really happen, so I'm just going to hold on to that. Or I don't know. There's just these little niggles, right? Because you're tired and you don't have your defenses up. And it's not in your face that you can actually see that this is what's going on, but you've opened a door. And the moment that you've opened a door, it's going to start because you're tired and because you're exhausted. This is what I feel. One, it can happen in our lives in general. And then before you know it, you can be taken right out. Because, and then you don't even know what's actually happened to you. It's like an ambush. Next minute, do I even believe? And you go, where did it even start? And then you got to try and trace back to you don't even know where it started. Because it wasn't actually in your face. You were on the outskirts, and before you know it, well, I felt a little bit left out, but I didn't realize I was actually leaving. Before you know it, you're gone. Because it starts. What happens in a setting like this, where we're going, okay, we've got a conference coming up and we're getting more chairs and we've got, like, new people are coming in, am I going to be forgotten? This person has more skill than me. Am I still going to be seen? Or can I be used? Or however, it happens in churches all the time. And the conference is coming up and we don't even know where that's going to go. We don't know what God's doing. That was like a God idea that was like, wow, that's a really good idea. But it's a God idea. So we don't know what God's going to do with it. We still don't know what God's going to do with it. But it's a really God and good idea. But we have to guard up as people. Because that's what will happen with the little niggles. And the Amalekite little battles that are going to happen around us. So I felt like, I felt God was like, this is the message I'm bringing today. Because I've spoken to quite a few of you and my life. And I can see what's going on in my life. And as the pastor here, if I can see what's going on in my life, in our life, I can only imagine what's going on in your life. So I'm not just going to sit here and go through this on the side and not come and go, hey, this is actually what's going on. And we need to guard up. You need to see what's going on. You need to see what's going on in your relationships. You need to see what's going on in your work. You need to see what's going on in your mind. You need to see what's actually happening to you. And you need to pray up. You need to guard up. Because if you can't just see it bang in your face, then something, there's a door open, right? All right, I've gone, like, I don't even know where I am, okay? So just bear with me because I don't know where I am. But anyway. I had a dream. And most of you, or some of you who know me, know God speaks to me a lot in dreams. When I was a young person, and I had first come to the Lord before I went off and became like the prodigal, I'm going to go off and do whatever. Anyway, when I was a young girl and I first became to know the Lord, I was like, I want to dream dreams. And that was a really big prayer for me. I want to dream dreams and Lord, I want you to speak to me in dreams. Well, 30 years later, he does. So anyway, I had this dream. He speaks to me a lot in dreams. And so then if I message you want to go, oh, I had this dream. Anyway, there's a lot of confirmation in my dream. So I have this dream quite a few weeks back. And I didn't really know what it was. And I actually thought it was for me personally. So I've been going through this journey of this dream, and there is a lot of personal things in it. But I actually felt to bring it up because I feel that it's collective as well. So I was walking somewhere, and it was this brown sort of brick building, and it was like, I was somewhere. Then I walked into somewhere else. It was like past and future. So I walked into this future area, but I forgot something. Then as I went to go, I need to go back and get it. I went to the street to go walk up the hill to go get it. And there was a massive lion that was sitting at the top of the hill. And it started roaring at me like it was going to come and attack me. So I couldn't walk up this hill. It was very angry at me. So I thought, let me go to the next street. So I go to the next street, and there was another hill, and there was another lion at the top, and it was prowling around. It didn't actually see me, but it was just guarding, so I couldn't go up that one. Then I go to the next street, and there was another lion. You get the point, right? I could not go up any street. So I could not go and get what I needed to get. So I had a discussion with Elton, and we sort of went through what this could mean for me personally. And then I had a discussion with Muzz and Vicky about this dream. What God revealed to me in this dream collectively was this. In 1 Peter 5:8, stay alert, watch out. For your great enemy, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. A lion hunts the weak. For any of you who watch documentaries, you can see when one animal is sort of like alone, and you see an animal on the lion on the prowl, you go, oh, that poor animal is gone. We have been speaking so much about transformation, but about being family and actually needing one another. This is the squeeze in. Because we're not going to make it up the hill to where we actually need to be when we're not together. And I was on my own trying to get up this hill with these lions that weren't letting me. We actually need one another to get up these hills. We need one another to get to where God needs us to be. But every single road had these lions. The enemy is like a lion that's prowling around waiting, looking for someone to devour. That's each one of us. That's not just me. Each one of us. We all need to be together. So we could be in this room this morning, tired, weary, exhausted, not at our best, feeling on the outskirts, at the back, unseen. I feel left out, don't fit in, unmet expectations, disappointments. I like the old ways. I don't like change. I'm not good with change. I'm not somebody who's great with change. Let me just say, there's a lot of change going on. You wouldn't know. I'm someone who goes to the same restaurants, orders the same foods, has the same coffees, goes to the same coffee shop. I'm someone who's very routined. I don't really like change. You wouldn't know it, but I adapt to change, but I'm not someone who really likes change. But you get to a point where you go, God, I know this is you, right? I know this is you. The more flexible we are in life, the more flexible you are, the more you don't snap. So I called my mother. I don't have spaghetti at home. So I want to actually give you this. I had to call it because I don't have spaghetti at home. You'd think I do being Italian, but I don't. I want to show you these two things. One is cooked. One is raw. One has been cooked. One is soft. One is flexible. One doesn't break unless I pull it really hard, right? Because we are all breakable, right? But really, it's very flexible. So I can move it around, I can shape it, I can put it around my fingers, I can do whatever I want to do with it. It's very flexible, right? We have to be that flexible to know what God's doing with us and in this house. The other one is very rigid and doesn't like change. And the moment I touch it, it just crumbles. And it breaks. In our lives, in your work, in your relationships, wherever you are at, wherever God places you at, you have to be like this. Not just in church. You have to be soft. You have to be this. You have to be pliable. You have to move around. You have to be flexible. This is who God calls us to be, so He can adapt us. He can cook us. We sing all these songs, and the whole Refiner song, I stood up here one year going, I can't sing that song because I'm so scared to sing that song. Because when we sing Burn Me and Refine Me, and I'm like, how much more do you want to be refined? How much more do we want to be put through the fire? And then we've become, well, I know for me, it's so scary to go through the fire. But if I'm not done burning and I'm not done being refined, why am I not still on my knees going, refine me and burn me until you mold me, till you have me the way you want me? Because we have this version of God in our heads that we go, I'm good the way I am. I'm okay the way I am. Let me stay the way I am. And that's okay. Don't burn me. Don't refine me. Don't put me in where all the stuff's got to come up, because I'm a bit scared for that, because that's going to hurt. We have to be people that go, burn me, God. Refine me, God. Bring me down until you actually take everything from me that is not of you. We have to be those people like this spaghetti that cooks until it boils, until we get so soft that he can do whatever he wants to do with us. That's what we need to be. Instead of getting scared of singing these songs because we don't want to be in the fire anymore, because it hurts. And believe me, we all know it hurts. Every single one of us knows it hurts. But we can't get like this without boiling water. We can't. And we can't keep being scared of boiling water. And so we don't sing these songs. We don't pray these prayers. We don't want to be refined because we're okay where we are. We can't be okay where we are. We can't have transformation and be okay where we are. We can't. So Saul was instructed to destroy all the Amalekites and all the animals. And he didn't, right? He did a half a job. He did a half a job. He kept the best animals, and then he kept the king, Agag. And then God knew, and then Samuel goes to him and goes, why'd you do that? And he's like, I did everything I was supposed to. No, you didn't. You didn't do that. So then he justifies, and he says, well, I'm going to give the best animals, sacrifice them to God. And he says in 1 Samuel 15:22, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Your obedience is needed in your own walk, in your own walk, where God has placed you in areas of your life. What is in your life that you have justified that you're keeping? What is in your life that you've justified that you're keeping? Is God asking you to be obedient in getting rid of something? Whether it's attitude, possession, tradition, complaining, whatever that is that you don't want to get rid of. You could be justified in something, but God said, I don't want you to hold on to that anymore. I don't want you to have that anymore. To defeat the Amalekites, Moses had to keep his hands raised. As long as his arms were up, Israel was victorious. As long as his arms were up. When they lowered them, this is when the Amalekites were able to sort of get in front. So Exodus 17:8-13, we'll read this through. While the people of Israel were still in Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. Moses commanded Joshua, choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek. You know, if I don't say that right, you know, forgive me. For us, tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill holding the staff of God in my hand. Moses' arms soon became so tired he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. Then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands. So his hands held steady until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. When his arms began to get heavy, Aaron and Hur positioned themselves beside Moses and supported his arms. The lesson here is they needed to rely on God. They needed to rely on God for the battle. They also needed each other. They needed to rely on God for the battle. They also needed each other. We need to squeeze in. I had let's squeeze in. Taylor said, that's lame. Let's take out let's. But let's squeeze in. I know. She always gives me a hard time. I know. Always gives me a hard time with my names. But we need to squeeze in. And let's squeeze in. We can't be on the outskirts. None of us want to be on the outskirts where we start getting attacked and we go, I don't know what happened to me, but I'm at the back. I'm on the outskirts. I'm vulnerable. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. We all need someone to hold up our hands. We all need each other to help us hold up our hands. We rely on God. We need God first. But then we need each other to help each other hold up our arms, our hands. So are you distracted? Relationship issues, feeling disgruntled, not included, not seen? First, let me tell you, that's not the intention. But if that's what you're feeling, if you've got hidden sin that you haven't got rid of, that's a door open. If you've got unforgiveness, that's a door open. If you're declaring, I'm as good as I am, I don't need to change, that's a door open. Rather than make me new. Our transformation, like we said, is not optional. We need God's conviction. And obedience is better than sacrifice. So do we have a heart that says, make me clay and mold me how you want me to be molded? However you want me to be molded, make me clay so you can mold me like this spaghetti. So go and speak. So this is the encouragement this morning. Go and speak, go to God, repent, go back into prayer. That's what we need to do as people. It's not saying, okay, this is just an airy-fairy message or fluffy message and this was nice. This is, we need to go to God. We need to repent. We need to be back in prayer. We need to be back in worship. We need to come back together. We need to join table groups. We need to come to table. We need to come to lunches. We need to come to men's, women's, do our stuff. That's what we need to do together. We need to do this stuff together. Sundays are not enough. Sundays are not enough to say, oh, I'm connected. It doesn't happen that way. That's why there's all these other things to be connected. Call each other. Look around. See each other. Look at each other in the eye. Say hello. How are you doing? How's it going? How are we? Squeeze in. Don't live on the outskirts. Don't live on the outskirts. Don't live on the outskirts. You will get attacked and you will get ambushed. That's what will happen to you. We need to be aware. We need to be so awake. We need to be vigilant to distractions when we're feeling tired, when we're feeling exhausted, when we haven't slept. When you haven't slept, this is just common knowledge. When you haven't slept, know that when something comes and attacks you the next day, it's probably not truth. Don't take it as truth. Go to God. I'm tired. Lord, what are you saying to me? I'm exhausted. What are you saying to me? I'm weary. What are you saying to me? I'm feeling a bit left out, Lord. Is that the truth? What are you saying to me? Let me call someone. Don't let me do this alone. I need someone to hold up my arms. That's what we need. Let's support each other, encourage one another, look at each other, see each other. In Hebrews 10, 24, 25, it says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Spiritually lifting one another's hands could be through direct help, encouragement, support, or it could be lifting the person's name before God in prayer. There's so many different ways we can do that for each other. So let us be people who constantly look out for people if people need their hands lifted. But also call on people to lift your hands, because we need people to lift our hands too. But it's not always about people lifting our hands. We also need to look out to lift other people's hands. That's how we squeeze in together. So this morning, like when we come, when we come to the Lord and he loves us where we're at and he loves us sinful and all, he loves us that much he doesn't want to leave us there. But sometimes we can actually go, well, that's enough for me, so I want to stay there. And we want to pick up our cross, but we don't actually want everything the cross represents. But we go, you know what? I actually want everything the cross represents. Hey, I want that. I want that freedom. I want that love. I want that community. I want everything that represents. I want to be that person for somebody else. I want to see people how Jesus sees them. So this morning, if you're tired, weary, exhausted, distracted, I want to get the band up if I can. If you're tired, weary, exhausted, distracted, not at our best, we can all stand, feeling on the outskirts, at the back, don't fit, you've got unmet expectations, disappointed, have hidden sin, feeling like you're struggling, feeling like you've been on the outskirts, feeling like, you know what, I haven't really wanted to be refined, feeling like I've got all of this stuff that I need to let go, feeling like, you know, I'm really exhausted, which I probably think that's majority of us, but you're going, you know what, I don't want to be that person on the outskirts. I want to pray for us this morning. But if you're somebody who goes, I need my hands lifted right now, we're going to open this altar and we're going to pray for you. And that's how we're going to lift your hands this morning. So we've got people, we're all going to pray for you. We're all going to pray for each other. Because I do think there's people here this morning, we all need our hands lifted. So as the band starts playing, let me just pray for everybody here this morning. So just thank you, Father. I thank you, God, for your word this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you love us that much that you don't want to just leave us here to be ambushed, that you go, you know what? You want to tell us what's going on. You want to show us what's going on. And you love us so much you don't leave us there. You say to us, squeeze in, come together. You're my people. You're my sons. You're my daughters. I love you so much that I don't want to leave you there. So stand up. Together. And what I've called you to do, who I've called you to be. And I will give you rest. Come to me, I will give you rest. That's what he says. He gives us rest. He creates Sabbaths to give us rest. He creates different means to give us everything that we need. But sometimes we can run. And then we sit on the outskirts, we sit in the rear, we become vulnerable and we get ambushed. But he goes, come to me. And then he puts us in a family that he says,